Welcome to the Weekend Market Report. I'm Michelle Rook with Jerry Gulkey, president of the Gulkey Group. For the week, May corn futures were 7¾ lower. December corn was down 5¼, with May soybeans losing 6½ cents. November soybeans slid 1½ cents. May soybean meal lost $4.60 per short ton. May soybean oil gained 94 points. May Chicago wheat was 7 cents higher. May Kansas City wheat fell 3 cents, while May Minneapolis wheat was 2¾ higher. December cotton futures fell 131 points, with June Dow futures down 914 points. Well, Jerry, it was a relatively quiet week for the grain markets, but the stock market was down over 900 points. Is the stock market providing any signals for the grains?
You know, we're seeing definite opinions on two sides of these markets, the economy as it sits in the U.S., which is the best economy, I guess, globally, and then the grains. And just about everybody that I know that's involved globally in grains are pretty negative to grains. You know, we've known an awful lot about that we've got enough corn to last us till next fall's delivery, till we harvest another crop. And the crop in Brazil is not touch and go, but they're getting the rains. It's still determined whether or not we can get the subsoil moisture back up to where it needs to be to fill that corn out there. But so far, so good there. So the general idea on the commodities has been that it's negative, and you sell anytime you get a rally, you want to sell into it. And that's what we've seen happen. It's kind of like walking down the stairs, you know. And if you look at a chart in the long term for maybe the last 18 months in the stock market, they were calling for a recession, a soft landing and all that. And all the time that happened, anybody that bought a pullback made money because the prices went higher. We kept making new highs. It's kind of like, while the grains were walking downstairs, the stock market indices, the S&P, like you mentioned, the NASDAQ and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, all walked their way higher to make new highs even last week in some cases. And then we had the crash this week. We had major key reversals down, and I've talked about key reversals before, and that's when the price that you're looking at takes out the previous day or the previous week's high and lows is below the previous day and week's low. And we saw March as being that time frame where the stock market would make a decision, and it did. And we fell at one time in 4 days about, I think, 1,100 or 1,200 points in the Dow Jones from the high to the low in a very short amount of time. So something, you know, things get overdone on the one side and overdone on the other side. And we've had so much negative news in the grains, the competition, and our fight with China, and our lack of being able to sell corn, yet our corn sales are up pretty good over last year, which they should be. They were terrible last year. So we've seen that, and it's kind of confusing for the traders. I talked to a lot of traders globally that says, you know, I don't want anything to do with this. This thing is crazy, they call it, and it's the markets are upside down, and logic doesn't seem to work anymore. So you get into this stalemate to where you don't really want to commit something either way very long, and we've seen that happen in the grains. They don't extend to the upside very much, although it looked good like they were going to bottom, which we thought they did at the end of March, and they're still higher than March 1st, but not appreciably so. But yet they haven't been able to take out those lows. Wheat has been the shining star, and that's the one that's been the dog for a year and a half, lost all its gains, and the Ukrainian war didn't help it yet. But now we have the political situation in an uproar, with the bombing of some of the Iranian people and so forth by Israel, and a lot of nasty talk out there. And the stock market is getting concerned that maybe the interest rates are higher for longer and the economy is so strong that that maybe we've run it too far, that a correction is good. And in both cases, that's probably true. You get overextended. And the chart that I had in the top producer column would be good to look back at it for the listeners to take a look at it. It's out on the internet, I'm sure now. And it shows that discrepancy. We've been there before, and for whatever reason it was, we equalized. In other words, we neutralized how high things were in the stock market and the housing. We brought it back. The Fed is trying to do that. And on the downside, we got grain so low that even in the Kansas City top producer conference that we attended, the federal president of that area mentioned that we're going to break even. And then we come at best this year. And then we come with an acreage report last week that says kind of logically, why would I spend $350 more to plant corn just to break even when I can do it with less money invested and do it in soybeans. So we saw that surprise reduction in corn and the increase in bean acres. And that's an economic situation that that agriculture's reacted to. So that's kind of setting where we're at, and there needs to be something, some kind of event to bring us out of it.
So is the most likely catalyst going to be weather?
Yeah, I think we do. But whether it's too wet now, it was too dry in Illinois, and now I understand a minute ago when I heard the weather forecasters from Illinois say that we've had the wettest, I think, March in northern Illinois in years. We've had 5 inches of rain, and all of a sudden everything that we worked up there is mud. We're not going to get in the field nearly as early as we were, and the eastern Corn Belt's been wet, so the weather is not like it was last year. So if I'm holding grain and it turns wet and I can't get into the field, and or they're preaching maybe a hotter and drier summer this year, if I've had grain that long and I'm in the planting area, I'm not so sure as I'm going to sell it on a 10-cent rally. I'm going to watch it awful closely. And that's true. You know, it can work both ways. Suddenly the farmer is not going to sell it because he doesn't. Now he's questioning his crop in the bin or in the field, and he's still got grain from last year that's appreciating in value. You know, you have a change of attitude, and you don't know how that person thinks unless you're one of those people that does that. Most of the analysts that are in the business today and that try to make the market and influence the markets, speculators included, computer traders included, most of them have never made money growing grain or have never produced. They don't know how we think. And so I think that's the unknown out there, the market psychology that can change. And suddenly, if it's raining like crazy and I can't get in the field and it's May 15th, I'll probably have to plant beans. And then that's a whole different matter about that corn. And suddenly you don't have the opportunity for a major crop. And 5 bushels an acre in yield would make a big difference. And so there's a lot left. And again, it's Mother Nature, but there is a point where you just kind of set and maintain yourself and see what the information evolves that's going to affect our crops. And this is a critical time. April, we're transitioning from a winter season to a spring season. It's never easy to predict the weather. Had somebody told me, Jerry, you're going to get 5 inches of rain in March, I wouldn't have put the field cultivator onto my chisel plowed ground that was in ridges, because I need those ridges of dry dirt when it comes time to planting. Didn't need them last year, and now I don't have them because I leveled that field out, because I thought, well, it's a new early spring, we're going to be planting corn the 15th of April. Baloney, it's not going to happen. And the weather forecasts weren't worth much more than about 5 to 10 days out, because it changed drastically when it changed. So we go through a lot of risk, and we're seeing that this year more so probably than we did last year as far as the weather standpoint. So
what about the tighter corn stocks that we got in the USDA quarterly stocks report? Will that also give us a chance for a rally?
And one of the things we talked about last year, or last week, was the missing 700 million bushels of corn that we should have in stocks. And our March 1 stocks report, based upon what we had left over from the previous year and what we grew and what we're using for 2023-24, that marketing year that ends in August, we should have had a lot more grain in storage in stocks. And most everybody that's looking at us saying, look, we got 5 billion bushels of corn on farmers' hands. They're going to sell it sometime. They're going to sell it not because of price, but because of time. They'll be forced to sell it at some point in time. You get into a wet spring this point, and I just mentioned, you know, for me, I've got corn in commercial storage. First time in a long time that I've had a sufficient amount to be concerned about. I can get 40 cents a bushel more for that for fall delivery than I can right now. I can afford to pay the commercial storage. So that lets me set back and wait. I can hedge it off, or I can even sell. I can hedge it, or I can sell calls against it for a December delivery or for September delivery, and even make more than the cash market. So, and there's ways to skin a cat. They just don't have to sit there and look at the markets and do nothing. So there's opportunities there, and you got to wonder why that's happening. I look at my basis in northern Illinois. We're 37 under yet for corn. And northwest Iowa, where there's more ethanol plants, they're paying 18 over. you know, that's 55 cents a bushel more for that corn that's 400 miles away. And there's no corn piles around. And so if we had that big crop, record crop again last year, I didn't see any in northern Illinois, and I don't know many that were around at all that were in the elevators had to store multitudes of piles of grain because we brought so much to the market.
And at what point do you think the funds get out of their short position and put some risk premium into these grain markets?
Well, it's confused me because I've talked to people that have been around the business for 30 or 40 years, some of the old Sparks companies people that I still communicate with, and we don't have that answer. How did you, if you were short March corn, how did you roll without it being getting out of one and getting into another? I don't have that answer. It's a little bit confusing to me as to how they can stay short for so long and go from one month to another unless they put their hedges on or they put their short positions on in July because of the carry, and that hasn't come to fruition yet. So it is rather confusing because we should have seen more of that. We should have seen more upside on the shorts getting out than what we saw. Yet you continue to look at some of the segregated funds and the information that comes out, the fund reports, they still show them negative yet. I don't know how you maintain that unless you have, you know, I don't know. I've got to look that answer. If somebody knows, I'd like to know, but it's confusing to a lot of people.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, I think one thing I've noticed that's different this year than last year, and I alluded to it a little bit. Last year, we'd get predictions of rain that's going to come across northern Illinois or wherever the Midwest of a half to an inch and a half, and we'd get a quarter of an inch. Or we'd see these light, we'd see these green radars over the top of our radar screen or our weather maps, and it wasn't raining. It was green. It looked like it was raining, but it was dry enough that the rain didn't get down to the ground or whatever. The prediction was more, but it never met those predictions. This year, as I alluded to, we're going to get a half to maybe 3/4 of an inch, and you get 2 inches, or you get 3 inches. So something has changed, and if we're in that kind of a situation again, to where they're predicting, like for Sunday, they're predicting a half inch of rain in northern Illinois. We'll see. If we get an inch or an inch and a half, then something's really screwy. Then with all the computers, we still can't predict weather. And now if you're going to get more rain than what you anticipated, that says right at the time that you want to early plant, that could affect things a little bit. And I don't think the market is prepared for I don't think there's any risk premium, weather risk premium in any of these markets right now.
Thanks so much, Jerry. And for more information, you can contact him at info@gulkeygroup.com. Jerry Gulke, president of the Gulke Group. I'm Michelle Rook with the Weekend Market Report.